Women have never been stronger in sport, and I really feel like there's so much support and excitement around women's races. And like, I certainly feel very blessed to be surrounded by all of you guys and to feel that like people care, like even in the comments on the live stream, like it wasn't just the women that were like, hey, where are my ladies at? Like it was like everybody wants to see the women's race because women are fast and strong. And I feel like if anything, there's been a like more exciting trajectory of growth in the women's competitive fields, you know, like all these races are so close and all these women are like right on top of each other, and it's anyone's game. And that is like super exciting. You do not know who's going to come out on top.
Hi friends, welcome back to the Trail Network Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Katie Asmuth, and today I'm joined by our other hosts, Rachel Drake, Leah Yingling, and Hillary Yang. We just jump right into this episode about me finding joy pinning a bib for the first time in 10 months, Rachel's travel mishap and trying to get to Madeira. Of course, all the insane racing that went down last weekend, like Four Sisters Mountain Trail, Golden Trail Series event, Ultra Trail Mount Fuji, and of course, the throwdown at Canyons, and how we think the live stream coverage could have been much better. Let's dive right in. So, well, we were just talking about how Mammoth Lakes like threw down this weekend, and you know, feels pretty good to be a part of that because obviously I'm talking about Canyons Endurance runs this weekend. And we had Rod Favard, who took home first and a golden ticket in the 100K. Woo. Danny Moreno took a first in the 50K and a course record. And Tim Tolleson took sixth in the 100K and absolutely threw down a huge race for Tim. And I mean, guys, I absolutely dominated my Fondo gravel bike race.
Yes, you did.
Oh my God, it was so silly and ridiculous how hard I tried. But like, I like went for it. I was like trying to hold on to the lead men. And it was like, it was a whole race. Like it was very, very fun. My climbing is baller. My descending is getting better. So there we go. But I mean, I tried so hard. And I would say the best part of the whole experience was that it like didn't matter to anyone else other than me. I mean, also, you guys, I'm such a newbie that I pressed start, like to start the navigation of the route that was saved on my bike computer, but I didn't press like play. So the whole thing, I was going turn by turn on my bike computer, knew the like the climbs that were ahead, but the whole thing wasn't recorded. So it like actually didn't even happen because it's not so on Strava.
Strava, it like, didn't happen.
Like, literally nobody cares, even to the point of that I couldn't even say I did it because you wouldn't even know.
But did you Strava even don't care it? Either.
Yeah, I mean, when I arrived, it was so weird because so I like absolutely emptied myself. Like I was starry-eyed, like dizzy by the end, like just so wiped out, gave it my all. And I crossed the finish line and there's like, I mean, it's like a big to do. I mean, there's like, it's a Phil Guymon race. It's like, you know, marketed very well, very cool banners and this whole like fanfare that in that way, but no spectators. I mean, you finish and there's like no cowbells, nobody's announcing. It's just silent. Like there's some guy playing a guitar and it's like festive and there's like whiskey and like an expo kind of a thing. Like people are hanging out, but it's not like an ultra where it's like you're coming through and people are announcing. It feels like people are watching and it felt very silly. I finished from like falling over, like, where's my medal? You know, kind of a nope, nobody cared.
How
great.
Far was it and how long did it take you? I don't know anything about Fondos. Same. Is it 100 miles?
Okay, so this was, there's different distances. I biked the 50 miler and then there was a 70 miler and a 100 miler. So I only did the 50 miler, which is like probably the hangover ride to everybody else. But yeah, it was, so I finished and it was cool because I was really going after my own time. So like maybe 2 weeks ago, I did reconned it because I happened to be in the area. Okay, guys, it wasn't like I was taking it that seriously or anything. Reconned the area, the whole Rick course. And I was trying to beat my time because I like went for it then. But my chain fell off twice and I had to call Pete because like needed him to know I was safe because I was in the middle of nowhere and whatever. Finally got service and I had to pee. You know, this was like, it wasn't like a race setting, but I was really working hard. So anyways, I was trying to beat that time. And I finished that in 5 hours and 23 minutes. And this time I finished in 4 hours and 15 minutes. Oh, so that was like, destroyed that. And I was like, damn, I killed it out there. Huge. Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, I didn't see really anybody. Like I was alone most of the race, but it was super fun. So anyway, good times.
And how sore is your butt?
I'm feeling, you know, yesterday it was dead to the world. And then today I'm like, I'm feeling all right. The bike is so weird.
Do you wear padded bike shorts?
Oh girl. Yeah.
Do you wear multiple padded bike shorts? I feel like I would layer them.
And it's super annoying because most are all for men. Like you have to get find a certain bike bib that you can unclip so that you can pee. And otherwise you have to like take off your whole jersey and all of your stuff to be able to like take off your bibs to pee. So I invested in these sweet The Feed bib shorts that have the clip in the back so I could pee. And never used them because it was only a 4 hour and 15 minute race. And I was like, this is actually super short compared to what I usually do. But I was like over 100 carbs an hour, which is pretty good. And I mean, for someone that has to stop whenever they eat. So whenever there's a river crossing, I was like downing a 90 gram of precision hydration. So anyway, it was good. I'm feeling really good today. I feel absolutely fine, like ready to get back at it. So the big difference between running and biking. Anyways, that's not why people come to this podcast, is not to listen about a bike race, but it was really fun. So thanks for asking.
And you got out racing again. I feel like that mentally for you was the big thing, right?
I just wanted to go to the well so badly. Yes. Because you just feel kind of weird going to the well on a group ride,
you know? You're like, so, was it too much?
Yeah, sorry, I really hit that climb hard on this like silly Sunday group ride. But this was felt like a real race. I had a bib, like I got to pin to my jersey, and it was very fun. So, and I beat Pete, which was, you know, made that much, much sweeter.
Sorry, Pete.
So, you know, I was only 23 minutes off first place male, which was like, you know, pretty good. All right, enough about me, but that was fun. Thanks for letting me talk about it. It was good times.
Oh, I'm so happy. There just looked like grin on your face, Katie, when I saw your Instagram. It was just like pure joy. Like, I think it's good to remember, like, even when you're injured, you can find something that
just
still like gives you that feeling,
just
you
go
know?
To the well. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if no one cares, can't even Strava it.
We care. Strava might not, but we do.
Anyways.
Oh my god.
Okay, we need to switch gears because Rachel almost went to Madeira. Can you tell us about what went down, Rachel?
It was so epic, you guys. So we had doggy care set up. We dropped Teddy off the night before. We dropped Lewis off at Tyler's sister's house. We had everything all sorted, bags packed. We get to the airport and the person who was checking us in was like, yeah, I can't let you on this flight. Portugal has a 90-day passport rule where if your passport has to be valid for 90 days, even if your trip is like a week long. So Tyler's passport expires in like mid-June or something. So we obviously didn't know about that. We just thought the passport was valid for, you know, until it says it expires. So we went into this whirlwind of like, all right, we're going to go up to Seattle and get the same day passport and then we'll get on a flight tomorrow. And by the time we had sorted it all out, it was going to be like another $3,000. And Yeah, it was such a bummer. And we were going to get in like 12 hours before Tyler's, you know, 115K race started. And we just figured, you know, it's not
optimal.
Not optimal. Yeah, so we're super bummed. I feel like it's one of those things where you're just like, you know, you want so badly for something to happen. But I kind of knew in my mind going into it that like something was off and I didn't know what it was. Like I had been having kind of a little bit of an injury scare last week. So I thought that that was what it was. And it turns out, yeah. Oh. But, you know, your intuition's really powerful. I feel like I was just like, I knew something was going to go wrong and I'm surprised that that's what it was. But of all things that can go wrong.
Oh, that's wild that you could almost foresee, like you had that feeling and you had that intuition, because I think it speaks to you and it kind of shows you how well you know yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
You're in tune with the universe, Rachel.
Totally. I feel like I am. Yeah.
Were you able to pivot in any way?
Psychic?
Sometimes I feel like I am a little bit psychic, Katie.
Yeah, what did you guys do this weekend? The pivot. Instead.
Yeah, we got to run together 3 days in a row, which was amazing. We hardly ever get to run together. And we spent the night out in the van in the gorge, which is just incredible. I feel like, you know, we travel to all these cool places for races, but home really is incredible. Like, I would vacation here if I didn't live here. I love it. So we did that. And then in terms of racing, we're both going to run various distances at the Tillamook Burn in a few weeks. So that will scratch our competitive itch.
I feel like that'll be a nice little like send off too.
Yeah, I know. I kind of thought Gorge Waterfalls was going to be the send off, but we just can't get enough of our Pacific Northwest trail community.
Aw, yeah. Man, it was a cool weekend, though. I don't know about you guys, but I started off by watching Courtney at Mount Fuji, absolutely decimating that race and that field.
Pete's always the first one to check Instagram. I'm like, I forget about my phone, and Pete's like telling me the news of the day. He wakes up and he goes, Courtney got third, like that. And I was like, really? Like, wow, she got third? Like, okay, like who beat her, right? Like, who's first and second? And he's like, no, third overall. And I was like, oh, okay, like that's not news. Like,
of course.
I was like, hot damn, like, okay, who's first and second? And it's maybe blah. It's like, nope, Courtney's just being Courtney. Get on the overall podium. Anyway, way to go, Courtney. You're amazing.
She's just like incredible. Like she was hunting. I think she was like in second at one point and then ended up in third overall, but she was just like on a mission. Like, I don't know how she does it so consistently.
Did any of you guys catch any of the Four Sisters Golden Trail race?
Yes. Just a little bit. I think it was pretty late my time. I think Rachel was almost reasonable in Pacific time.
I was staying up a little late. Yeah.
And I saw you posted about it on Instagram and I was like, I'll tune in. And it was right whenever they were getting up where there was a bunch of the flags. And it was right whenever the top three or four were coming through. And gosh, like seeing
they were how suffering.
Yes. And I think it was like you just need to think about how high that race was occurring at. And like they looked like they were just kind of out for like a normal hike at the paces that they're going, but they're probably up at what 14,000 feet at the time. Mm-hmm. Like I absolutely cannot fathom. And just seeing like video footage of Grayson at the finish line, just like cramp every muscle in her just cramping and hearing her say just like how hard and difficult that was. It blows my mind. I can't believe what those women did.
I know. It was so fun to watch. Like I had simultaneous fangirling and FOMO all at once, just watching them. Like what the Golden Trail series is doing is so, so cool.
It is interesting. Yeah. Just like the shorter distance stuff. Cause it's like, we kind of forget with all the long stuff. It's like the short stuff is impressive. Like,
and it's exciting. There's like quick moves that are made. There are epic wipeouts. Like it's so high octane. I love it.
And the footage is so good. I think compared to like a lot of what we get. And I think a lot of the like documentary stuff that they've been doing has just been incredible. One of my favorite moments that I saw was I think a camera was following Sarah Alonso in that like flag area. And I think she turned to the camera and was like, cut, like, no.
That is so, you know, okay, so this is a really good like insight. One of the heads of the media pep is dating Sarah. So I wonder if it was him that was filming
probably
her.
Probably.
Hey. Honey, stop.
Not funny. Yeah.
Or maybe it was like when you were at your race at the Gorge, Rachel, and she's like, I really got to pee and like get away from me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I always feel like Golden Trail does such a good job. But I will say watching Grayson just like cramp up at the finish line because she always looks so dialed and poised. And it's always this like ongoing joke at Saucony because Grayson's like always put together, and I'm always bleeding and like a wreck and filthy and just like destroyed, like, just looks ridiculous. And Grayson always looks amazing and she's never cramping, you know? And I'm like, Grayson's cramping, like, yeah. She went hard. She went after it. I mean, at Worlds, I think there were some pictures that she was like really grimacing hard, but usually she's like looking pretty good. And anyways, yeah, it got, she went for it. I mean, this was actually, I mean, this was her, I think the furthest she's been, like, I think this was one of her longer trail races ever. So, and I think, yeah, she said that her and Maude Mathis were just absolutely just destroyed and pushing each other, but just suffering hard. So anyway,
I love that. I've been there with Maude before. Yeah. She's a fierce competitor.
It's so interesting. Like, I mean, I did the Thailand 55K a couple years ago, the UTMB one, and like just the travel and the humidity and the difference in like what a big difference that makes. And I think the more of these global races that come up, like, it's kind of fascinating the like extra element that that adds. Mm-hmm. Like, just the race in China looked so humid. And it's like, we can't even replicate those training conditions, you know, like maybe if you did your whole run in the sauna, but like, it's like a whole different thing to throw in there, or even like the high altitude ones, like all of that. It's just like this extra little dynamic of like who can kind of stand up to it or figure it out the fastest. But yeah,
not to mention the logistics, like we mentioned with Madeira, but I think Grayson had travel problems getting to the Kobe race as well. And so she wasn't even able to do that one, which is such a bummer, because for Golden Trail, you need 4 races to score. And so now she's just gotta, I'm not sure what her plans were, but I mean, all that stuff really matters.
Yeah, that's interesting.
First time to Asia too. I mean, it's just like a culture shock too, entirely. She's never been in that part of the world. And I think that does. I mean, if it's not in your comfort zone, it's not, you don't speak the same language. I mean, there's just a lot of those logistics too that just change a completely new train. You don't have time to recon the course, right?
Well, even food at the aid stations, like in Thailand, like they didn't have Coke or chips at any of the aid stations. And they had like maybe one type of pot, but like they had dumplings and things that I would like never want in the middle of the day when I'm so hot. And they're like eating like a full bowl of it and my stomach was just like, nope. But you know, you can't treat the aid stations like you would here. And just like even knowing that, or knowing what you need to bring for that, it was kind of hilarious.
We have to close our eyes and pretend it's a pierogi.
Yeah. And everything can be a pierogi, guys.
You're like, it's fine, we're fine. I mean, it looked delicious. I would have it after. I actually had some, like, they gave me this like chicken rice, like, I don't know, soup at like 4 a.m. before the race started. And I was like, I can be on board with that. Like, that's a great breakfast. But like, just all of it, you're like, what could go wrong? Nothing.
Lots of things.
Oh my God. I want to dive into canyons though, you guys, because I feel like that was a big topic of conversation for all of us this weekend. I feel like I was glued to it all day. Like, we got up and we were like, yeah, we're going to go for a long run. And then like 3 hours later, we're still sitting there with our coffee watching. And I was like, Billy, we got to go run or we're not going to get this done. But like all day, we played it in the car on our way to the trailhead. And we played it like as we were starting our run until we lost reception. And then we put it on afterwards. It's like, I mean, it's cool that it's at the point where it's almost like appointment viewing, you know,
yeah,
for these races. And especially, I was super curious to see like how the UTMB crew would do kind of doing the coverage for this. Cause I know last year, I think they came out and tried, and it was just like way more difficult than they thought it would be to cover that terrain back there. Cause it's so remote and there's no coverage out there. So yeah, it was really exciting to see like what they put together, and just like the fields were so stacked too. Like, it was anybody's guess how it was going to go.
Yeah, for me, I was camping all weekend with friends, and I was kind of like the worst friend because I like kept checking, but like trying to sneak check, but because I was trying to be present. And we're camping at these hot springs. It was, you know, the weekend of my race, and we're all camping at the hot springs, and my race was on Sunday. So I had all day Saturday in my mind to follow canyons, but I was also trying to be a good friend. But it was really hard, and like just lost it, just absolutely lost it when Danny won. Like, it was like, because I'd been texting her the night before, and she's like, I need a pump up. Give me some hype. Like, what do I do for like to beat Jen? It was a whole thing, and it was really fun.
You're the perfect person to go to for that.
I mean, yeah. I'm like, Danny, come on, right? Like, it's so fun to hype. I mean, she's such an easy person to hype. But she, it was so fun to watch her then beat Jen by 6 minutes. Felt really good. It was like, ah, and I know Jen is such a fierce competitor, and Danny and Jen have actually trained together in Mammoth together before. And like Jen has a bunch of CRs out here. And so it's just fun to see that. I mean, it's definitely like a loving competition out there, but they were absolutely throwing down. It was cool to see them brace after they finished. So that was the first thing that got me like going, was watching Danny throw down. So that was my first take. Do we want to keep talking about the 50K or do we want to jump to the 100K?
I'll just pipe in and say that 50K was so competitive, like hearing the start list and then, you know, with Molly Seidel, who was in it at one point and ended up pulling out because her knee wasn't feeling 100%. But I was pumped just to see what would happen. I mean, I think, you know, the way that things turned out was kind of what I expected to happen, but it was still just like really, really exciting to see them all.
Yeah. My conclusion after that 50K was that Danny, Jen, Tabor, and you, Rachel, you guys need to be four of the people on our next team representing Worlds in the Mountain 40K, because so I strong. Think that team would be absolutely unstoppable.
Life out. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
We need to make that happen.
Oh, when so is good. That? 2025?
I think it's, yeah, in the Pyrenees 2025.
Cool. Do we know what the qualifiers are yet?
No, unfortunately. I think it's like September 2025.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in September. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to say I need to put my vacation request in for residency, so they better announce that soon.
Yeah.
Hillary's going to be checking out the course in the Pyrenees, right? Aren't you going to the Pyrenees?
Well, no, I'll be in the Dolomites, but okay, I'll be staring over there. Yeah, close. I mean, yeah, the 50K was super exciting, and they showed some of it on the broadcast. I do feel like they very much focused on the 100K.
Yeah.
And I feel like Rachel and I were like going back and forth all day. Like I saw Rachel in the chat and I was like, ah. Yeah.
Well, I was just like, here. Wait a minute. Like there was an epic race. So obviously Katie Scheid absolutely smashed it. Blew Insane. It out of the water. I mean, I was getting Strava uh-oh notifications the next day, like from a run that I thought that I had absolutely sent it. And she took my crowns in 100K. I mean, this woman is on another level.
Yeah,
that is kind of amazing.
I can't fathom. And I've been having a couple conversations of like, who could have kept up with Katie on that day? Is there anybody? And I really don't think so, guys. Like that was an incredible performance that I think is very hard to match.
And she looked relaxed.
She just executed her plan, basically, like pretty flawlessly, which is incredible.
And I think especially because she wasn't racing for a golden ticket, which I kind of forgot at the beginning. Then I was like, oh, yeah, like she's just trying to put together like essentially a perfect training race for Western States.
Mm-hmm.
And then your mind's sort of blown by just like watching that unfold. It made it all the more impressive because she wasn't looking around. It was just her race. And that just happened to be her race. You know, it was that good.
She said in the post-race interview with Free Trail that, you know, she's just looking for things to motivate her to get the most out of herself, which I think we should all do that regardless of whether you're winning or getting 100th place. Like whatever it takes for you to get the most out of yourself. And for her, she was like, all right, I'm going to try to get top 5 overall. And she ended up 6th overall, but she beat a lot of professional men, Tim Tollefson, Adam Peterman, like really, really respectable men. She beat them. So I'm just, yeah. I'm
she
just
looked
like
a lot better at the finish line. Like some of those guys tired. Just looked ruined.
So I'm curious what you guys think about this. So we talk about this every year at Canyons. Like even if you get a golden ticket, what does that do for your Western States, right? And are people going so deep to the well? I mean, because now you have to recover from that effort and then build again for States and then taper. Like it's very short turnaround. And so I'm curious, I wonder if the only reason that Katie did it was because of the change in the course. And she thought that would be beneficial for her States training. If she's just doesn't think it will affect or like have well, any, I mean, obviously she thought it was going to be a positive for her States.
there's a precedent for people doing well there too. I mean, Beth Pascal, the year she won Western States, she also did canyons and she didn't need a ticket. And I don't know, Leah, I feel like you probably know of other people who have done that.
Yeah, too. I mean, like the year Adam got a golden ticket, he won Western States a couple months later. So it was interesting because Mike was out there on the ground all weekend and we had a lot of discussions going into it of like, what is this course actually going to be like? And we came to the conclusion that it really required that like versatile athlete, like somebody who did extremely well on climbs and mountainous terrain, somebody who was resilient when it came to like muddy conditions, because it was actually quite muddy at times. And then it got pretty hot in the afternoon. And so somebody that was able to control all the controllables, and then somebody that had legs at the end from pacing it well. And I think like there probably wasn't a better race to do to prep for Western States than this one, because it required you to do it all. And I think those are the people that do the best at Western States. They can do it all. They can manage the controllables. They can keep within themselves, but then get the most out of themselves towards the end. And like, I swear that's the exact day that Katie had and like Rod too, throwing down for the men.
Mm-hmm. So with Katie already having her entry from getting second at Western States last year, I mean, there was a lot of exciting stuff happening in, well, positions 2 through 8. And really, I feel like MK at some point, she had just locked up that second place finish, that first golden ticket. And so then we have a ton of women battling for another golden ticket. And I feel like
Wait, can I say real quick, did you guys see how MK just fell off the tracker?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that was texting super stressful. Danny, like, what happened to MK? Yeah. And I'm like, what happened? Like, she was in front, you know, like, and then I was like, something happened. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But her tracker was having trouble earlier in the day as well. So I feel like there was a little bit of suspicion that she was probably still in it, but maybe the tracker wasn't working, at least in the live chat. That's kind of what people were saying. But it was a super exciting race for the second golden ticket, just refreshing the tracker. This episode is brought to you by Osprey Packs, the top-notch pack company celebrating 50 years. Happy birthday, Osprey! As the snow starts melting in the high country, I personally can't wait for long adventure days, and Osprey makes the best fast packs. Their Talon Tempest packs are so lightweight. I've been on several multi-day adventures in my Tempest Pro and have honestly forgotten that I was wearing a pack. That's how comfortable and wonderfully engineered the pack is. The Talon Tempest Velocity was just released, and it's sure to be a favorite. Go get yours at osprey.com or your favorite local retailer.
It was okay, and this is where I might get on like a little bit of a soapbox here. And
yeah, do it.
Leah, I know you know this side of it too, but like for me, being in media in ultra running for like the last 8 years, it's like the thing that bothers me the most is how few women are involved in general with media coverage. And then I feel like I wasn't expecting to like kind of be confronted with that as much as I was this past weekend. And I was like just excited to watch the race unfold. And then somewhere along the way, I'm like, wait, like they're only really showing the men's race. Like, this is so weird. And they had like all these cool visuals. They had like these pop-up like visuals of the guys' faces and they're like kind of where they came from and stuff and where they were on the course. And the only one they showed was Katie. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't show any of the other women in the top 10, but they were showing the men like pretty deep. And it was like weird. And it just like kept happening throughout the race. And I think people started to kind of like say something in the like chat comments. And we were kind of chiming in like, hey, can you like show more of the women's race? And they just like the only person they showed was Katie. And it was just kind of like, it was hard because there was this whole other race going on.
And it was exciting.
It would have been very exciting.
What was happening was exciting. And even when the men's race had kind of, it hadn't kind of wrapped up. It had wrapped up. Like the top 10 men were through.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, now we're going to really get some storytelling on the women. Let's hear about this. Like the positions were changing. It was thrilling. And, you know, they cut to their cameraman. He's filming Adam Peterman, who I think was the 12th place man at that
14th.
Point. 14th place man. And we love Adam Peterman. He is a wonderful human, an incredible athlete. But, you know, when they're choosing to film him and talk about him over, you know, the third place woman, fourth place woman who was, you know, very well, close I think to it was, him.
It was like at Roby Point and MK was like right behind Adam or right around Adam. And the camera guy like followed Adam all the way up the climb instead of MK. And that was where I just had this moment and be like, no, like what are we doing here? Like, we're not even through the women's podium. And we're like, it was just like interesting. And I think what it comes down to is not treating the races like they're like they should be treated like they're two separate races and covered like that. Like, you can't just cover the men's race and hope you catch some of the women in it. And it kind of worked out for them with Katie because she was right in the mix. And so I like, yeah, they're like, yeah, but we showed footage of Katie. I'm like, yeah, you did, because she was like your sixth place guy, you know, like she was right in there. It was easy. But I don't know, looking at it from a media standpoint, it's like, where were the pre-race chats of like, hey, like who were the dedicated like e-bikers that are going to go back along the course and catch our like second, third, fourth female as they come up the same climb that you just like caught the guys coming up? And like how are we going to reset and like make sure we get this coverage? And it just like wasn't there. And it was, yeah.
It's frustrating too, because it's like, we've seen people do it well. Like, I will speak to Aravapa, like maybe the first couple live streams when they were learning, they were like low on manpower in these races on the media side. Like, they learned, they grew, and they adapted and improved so much with respect to the women's coverage, to the point where like when we're pre-race planning, we're looking at like, when did the last year the top 10 women come through this aid station? We will 100% cover at least the top 10 through here. So what it comes down to is just like, having personnel and planning for that, like you mentioned, Hillary. So like, maybe that person's not going to be able to see the men at that next aid station. Whoop-de-doo. Like, cover the women. Like, cover at least as many as you are the men, cover the same for the women. And because I think I've talked about this on other medium before, but live streams are becoming so important for our sports, for athletes, for people being like, recognized and putting themselves in the mix for sponsorship. Like, there's so many women in this race who are unsponsored athletes, and just even that like FaceTime in front of a big audience is huge and it's meaningful. And I think that's one of the kind of responses that happens whenever you're not covering the women as much in races like this. It's an opportunity lost for a lot of them too, which is really unfortunate.
Well, and for brands, who's buying the shoes? Who's like, this to me, it's like, we're over half of the demographic, right? Where across the world, there are, we needed to tap into us. We are like an untapped resource in so many ways. And it feels as if this is our time to shine, and you need to put light on the women's race so that all of the other women around the world can see all these other women absolutely dominating. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like they're taking away this opportunity, like ripping it from all, there's no win-win anywhere. Like, nobody's winning in this, right? At one point, Keith said on the live stream, don't worry, everyone, we'll cover the top three women. We'll be here until the top three women finish. And I was like, oh God. I mean, I was like nauseous and like, I can't anymore. And immediately it was like, where's Corinne? Like, you know, I'm getting all fired up. Like, I miss Corinne Malcolm. Like, I can't handle this. Because it's just not right. Like, it felt like a huge step backwards for me. And I was having a hard time watching it, to be completely honest, because I was like, this is such a poor job. And I think to Hillary's point, the planning beforehand, so the commentators can only do so much. It's about what's being shown on camera. And it's about the logistics before. You have to have these conversations. You need to have the personnel. Figure it out. Right? You have sponsors to be able to get these volunteers, pay people to be able to actually do the camera work, to get people on the ground to show us the footage. And it wasn't happening.
And the footage they did show of the men was cool.
It's great.
And of Katie. Yeah. It was really great footage. It's just they weren't showing.
They've done this before.
Yeah.
Like, well, this isn't their first time.
I do feel like it's something in North America that we're doing better. Like, I do think that Aravaipa, that a lot of like Western states, like we have a plan. We have two separate media teams that break out after like Michigan Bluff when it gets harder to follow the two races together. Like, that's important. And that's like how you cover both races equitably, is that you have dedicated teams to make sure you catch everybody. Like, it's not rocket science. And I do feel like Corinne has been an incredible advocate in all the commentary she's done on the European races. And I feel like, you see the gap there more than you do here. And I mm-hmm. think that's where we're seeing it here, is that the UTMB crew is coming in. And, you know, there's the very large conversation around that. But I think there isn't the same, yeah, there just is, like, isn't the same kind of excitement or priority around the two races being equal that we've seen in a lot of the races that we love and follow here. And yeah, it just played out. It was hard.
Do you guys feel like it's a European thing or a UTMB thing? Because I look at Golden Trail and they have, you know, they have the women start 20 minutes ahead of the men. They seem to have equal coverage. And then they have the lead women and the lead men finishing at around the same time, which is super exciting, because then sometimes the women are catching the men. Sometimes the men are catching the women.
That's actually so fun.
I think the final last year, Rach, wasn't the final one day was the women and one day was the men?
Yeah, they had different days for the final. So it just seems like, I mean, at least in my, you know, experience, it feels more specific to UTMB. Like, I remember watching UTMB in 2022. I was pregnant at home, and I think Tyler was finishing just behind Caitlin Gerben. So I got to see him finish. But then I remember just being flabbergasted when they shut down the live stream after Caitlin finished. And you know, Caitlin was the third woman. And in my mind, I was just thinking, you know, a top 10 finish at UTMB is an incredible career accomplishment for anyone. And I was really shocked when they stopped, you know, reporting on those finishes.
And I just think, like, I don't know, like, I come back to this whole thing, like, women have never been stronger in sport. And I really feel like there's so much support and excitement around women's races. And like, I certainly feel very blessed to be surrounded by all of you guys and to feel that, like, people care, like, even in the comments on the live stream, like, it wasn't just the women that were like, hey, where are my ladies at? Like, it was like, everybody wants to see the women's race because women are fast and strong. And I feel like, if anything, there's been a, like, more exciting trajectory of growth in the women's competitive fields, you know, like, all these races are so close and all these women are, like, right on top of each other, and it's anyone's game. And that is, like, super exciting. You do not know who's going to come out on top.
Totally. And there's been, like, women who are going after their, like, third, fourth, fifth golden ticket attempt, which I think makes for really exciting stories. There's women who are 6-7 months postpartum and having this, like, baller.
Kareth Arnold, you're my hero.
Yeah. Kareth crushed it, ended up finishing in fourth place, missing a golden ticket by one spot for her second time. Has, I think, at least two little ones, and just, like,
yeah,
strongest mom out there. You have Amanda Basham.
She nursed after the race. Like, she was breastfeeding her child after the race. Yeah. I mean, that is so powerful.
It's amazing. And, like, that's relatable. That's important for people to see. That's important for people who are mothers to see, people who want to be mothers to see. Like, it's representative of what women in our sport are doing and what they're accomplishing. And I think you can look across that entire top 10, top 20 of women, and there's so many incredible storylines. People coming back from major injuries, people who, you know, like, I look at Amanda Basham, like, you know, had in years of success in the sport, had two kids, is coming back and has been given her go at a golden ticket for the last couple years. And that's an inspiring story. Anna McKenna, who I think this was her probably fourth attempt at a golden ticket and missed it by two spots for, like, the third or fourth time.
Strong.
Like, people who are just, like,
even
resilient.
Missed it by one spot. We don't know.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I don't think MK is officially accepted. But yeah, and that's what I mean about it being a race, because, like, obviously Katie wasn't going to take it. So it could be, like, anyone from third through fifth that could have grabbed it. And, like, that's exciting. And all of those women are gunning for it and deserve it.
I just want to re-echo what Leah said before too, about kind of how important this is for sponsorship opportunities and name recognition. You know, as someone who has been trying to make it as a professional athlete, like, these opportunities and these performances can really change things. Like, even for me, after Black Canyons, I had, like, a sunscreen company reaching out to me. So it's just, like, you know, if we want to elevate the sport and elevate women, you have to show them, like, you have to, and not only show them, but you have to research them and tell their stories as well.
100%. Right. And, like, that's one thing I always tell people whenever they're like, how do I start getting sponsorships? How do I get recognized? One of the first things I always say is, like, you got to put yourself in the competitive races that have eyes on them. And mm-hmm. so here we are in a competitive race that have thousands of eyes on it, and the eyes are looking at the men. And that's just mm-hmm. a really unfortunate reality. And I think we can just do so much better.
Such a lost opportunity to get to know people we haven't seen up front before. Like, I didn't know Marta Winta, for instance, Polish, living in Germany.
I think she's the best dressed out there.
Oh my God, her outfit.
Fashion yes. icon.
Absolutely. What a warrior.
Except maybe not MK's glasses. I think she takes the cake on those ones. Yeah. But
she was wearing this like sweet skirt. I was like, you're so cool. So, I'm just saying there were names that I didn't know well, and I just get so like fired up. I want to know their stories. Where are you from? I want the commentators to be like researching them, even if you hadn't before. It's like, I better know everything about them as much as possible, what's out in the world. Let's hear about it. Those storylines, it was such a lost opportunity, it felt. So, yeah, we know what to do differently. And I think that's what's hard. It's like, it stings because it feels like it went in the wrong direction because we've done it right now and we expect something better. And yeah, I just don't think we stand for it and something needs to change. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing that I believe being on the media side, and one of the reasons I've always tried to like mentor other women into the sport and find other female photographers to work with. And whenever I'm on media teams, I make sure that there's other women because I haven't had that. Like, I've spent years being the only woman out there. Like, there's a great photo of the Western States like media coverage at the finish line a couple years ago when Walmsley finished, and it's like this row of stacked heads or whatever, and there's like maybe two women in there out of like 40 guys. And I just remember staring at that photo and being like not that you have to have like a woman taking the photo in order for it to be like of a woman or anything like that, but it's like who tells stories matters, because I would never like walk away when the women's race was unfolding, you know, like I just wouldn't. I would never be like, oh, well, I've seen them all, you know, like it's just, I don't know. I feel like that really makes a difference, and it's systemic, and it's got to be something that's like important and talked about and recognized, that you have to have the people telling these stories, like who's telling them matters, and that perspective really does make a difference.
And I think it's important as fans of the sport to keep calling for this and trying to hold people accountable, because I think it's really hard when you're an athlete in the position and you're kind of, it doesn't feel comfortable to stand up for yourself. And I'm thinking back to 2019 when I was a fledgling professional ultra runner. I went over to UTMB and I got an email that I was invited to the press conference before CCC. And so I remember going over there with my Nike teammates, Brittany Peterson, Keely Henninger. And, you know, we go into this hotel and they have these backdrops and they have microphones. They're doing interviews to make content for the races. And so someone hands me a microphone. They're about to ask me some questions. And then a male ultra runner walks in and they just immediately shoo me off, take the microphone out of my hand. And I almost started crying because I already had felt like I didn't quite belong there. I mean, this is my first UTMB. And I wrote about this in a blog post because it did bother me, like that had happened. And then, you know, someone in the media basically commented on that and said, oh, well, this wouldn't have happened to, you know, someone like Emily Forsberg or someone that was a real, you know, professional. And yeah, I didn't go on to win CCC, but I was seventh, and that's pretty darn good. And I think, you know, we can't be doing this to people that are up and coming. And I think we all really need to speak up for each other and keep asking for equal coverage.
Yeah, we talk about like trail culture, right? And it's that idea that of inclusivity. It's the idea that we're all connected in this drive to challenge ourselves and the community. And then you see it blatantly not happening in the media. And that's sad. Like, that's not the trail culture we stand for. And that's what the world's seeing.
Sorry, guys, this is such a downer episode, but we're really passionate about this.
So like, what, it's a call for action, right? What do we do about it? It doesn't have to be like sad, I guess. I said sad like four times, but it we need to like stand up for it. Like, it's a call for action. Like, we got to do something about it. We got to speak out about it. We all need to speak out about it. It's interesting. Did you guys see Stephanie Case's post? I sent it to you. And she was like, this weekend felt like a shift in the energy or like the momentum of women's sport. That I just was thinking about Courtney and I was thinking about Katie Scheid at Canyons. But Stephanie Case's whole post was that like she feels this shift because she's only like caring about the women's sport, or that's what she's seeing on her algorithms and social media and that sort of thing. And I'm like, I feel like that's been going on for a long time, at least personally. But then I look back at Canyons coverage and I'm like, ooh, that was a step in the wrong direction. Like maybe we're seeing the first place finish because she was, mm-hmm. you know, what she did at that day, but there's no story behind.
I think she was also referring to what she's seeing on Instagram. Like I saw a lot of photos of the women.
Shout out to Mike.
Yeah, mostly from Mike.
Mike did some great coverage.
Mike McMonagle, big fan. but yeah, the live stream was not great. But the coverage, like the news coverage was adequate.
Well, because the excitement's there, because people do care about both races. It wasn't representative of how we feel about the two races, right? Like,
right.
You know.
Yeah, we need to give a shout out to Free Trail. Did a great job too of covering both, I thought.
Yeah, it does make me wonder too, like what would our coverage have looked like if Katie wasn't in sixth place? If Katie would have finished in 20th place overall, would we have seen any women's coverage? Would it have been better because we would have had somebody maybe staying back to catch, you know, 20th and beyond in the women's field? Like, who knows? I think, Katie, you were mentioning, like, Anna Cassius got a golden ticket. Like, I think this was probably a second attempt. And we didn't get to even learn that much about her. She ran this, like, picture-perfect race, was, like, running pretty conservative all day, putting herself in it, moving up, and, like, it felt like there was pretty minimal fanfare around it, and she should be celebrated hugely. And yeah, I just feel like there was a lot of those missed opportunities.
I don't think I saw her once on the live stream coverage. It's kind of crazy.
I don't think I did. I definitely didn't see any footage of her.
I will say, like, being a conservative racer, it really sucks for live stream coverage of you. Like, I feel like every year, whether it's at like Western States or like UTMB this year, like if you're a racer that was like back in that like 15th to 20th and work your way up, like you're never in the coverage until maybe like the finish line.
Did UTMB cover the top 10 women this year?
Only because of Corinne. Yeah. Like she was pushing for it to like not shut it down. And like for a race like UTMB, I mean, from first place to 10th place, that's like probably 6 hours. I wouldn't be surprised. Or like probably like 5 hours of a span. Like it's pretty hefty. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, it's tough, but you do it. You do it for
figure that out. Quality. It was only the English coverage, I think, too. I don't think anybody else stuck around. Like it was just their own initiative for we're staying here to cover it.
There were a lot of comments in the live chat too, calling for Corinne. Knowing that she, I mean, at least when there's not footage, like if you do equal research for men's and women's, even if there's not footage showing them, you can still talk about them, tell their stories. I mean, I think that is really, I've been listening a lot to the Second Nature podcast out of Free Trail, and they're talking so much about how stories, like that is how you grow your brand. Like as an athlete, you need to be committed to storytelling. That's how you get fans. That's how you get followers. That's how you get buy-in.
For an audience too, that's exciting. Like, okay, maybe they're not talking about the men on the screen, but they can reference the top 10 women at the last aid station and tell a little story about one of them. Get the live chat involved. Get somebody like, hey, I don't know enough about Marta. Anybody out there watching, can you give us some tidbits that we can share with the audience? Something just like engaging in that way to learn more about women's stories. I think that's valuable.
Yeah, I feel like, again, it all comes back to the priority that was placed on it ahead of time. Like it's not something you can really pivot mid-race. It is something that you have to go into it being like, we're going to tell these stories. And I mean, Corinne has been an incredible ambassador for women in our media coverage and all that. And Leah, like what you do is also amazing. And Katie and Rachel, like, I just think the more women that are involved. And I think like Hayden actually did a really good job. Like shout out to Hayden for his coverage, because I thought he did a great job of covering the race for the, you know, lead athlete that hasn't done something like that before. Like, he was really engaging. And, you know, I think probably if it was something he did more, he'd be like, oh, like, we need to make sure we get the women's race. And it's just not something that is being his realm. But I thought he did an awesome job. And he was certainly like out there interviewing Katie and doing what he could. But I think it just takes all of us kind of committing to putting our money where our mouth is and finding more ways to show up and to be involved where we can. And if we're not racing, to be on the other side of it and to jump in. Like, it's just kind of a larger conversation of like how we want to grow the sport, and it comes from within, you know?
I think brands will start speaking up too. I imagine, like, or I don't know if that really is a thing, but imagine if, you know, you're a brand that sponsored Anna Cassius and you noticed she didn't get any coverage. Like, if you're her athlete manager or her agent, like, I would go to UTMB and say, hey, how come my person didn't get equal coverage? Like, you covered the third place male. You guys loved Petter Engdahl. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's something, like, you know, people in positions of power can start advocating as well.
Yeah, totally agree. That's a good point, actually. Come on, brands. We need you too.
We all need to work together.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I think on the positive side, just the women's races are getting so exciting. So it is cool to see. I cannot believe how stacked the Western States field is going to be. Leah and Rachel, good luck.
Women's stock is rising.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait. And that's going to be so much fun. And I guarantee you we're going to have amazing coverage of the women at Western States. Yes. So there we go.
Hillary, what are you doing for West State? Are you going to be a part of the media team?
I sure am. Yeah, I usually lead the coverage you see on social media. So I run around and I do the men's and women's races. And I like run like a mad person up to the top of the escarpment. I get everyone up there. I race over to Robinson Flat, and then I get to Michigan Bluff, and then I make it to Forest Hill. And that's like as far as I can go and get both fields. And then I usually go to the finish line from there. But I've got a system. I have a driver and they drive, and I edit in the car while they're driving. And I try not to get car sick on the like drive up to Robinson Flat. And it's all That's good. Epic. It sort of works. I do feel like by the time I like make it to the track that I'm like as tired, almost as tired as if I was running. But honestly, like I love it so much. And it's like, man, just last year watching like everyone come through Robinson Flat, and like it's so close. Like it's mm-hmm. like 20 people come through for your top 10 on both sides. Like, I kind of love it. It's just like you have no idea how it's all going to unfold. But that'll definitely be fun to see it all play out and be part of it on that side.
Okay, before we leave, let's all go around and either say something you're looking forward to or something that you've recently discovered that you like.
I feel lame with mine, but I'm all in, guys.
Okay, we'll just say it.
I'm doing a 4-day gravel camp, and I'm really excited about it. That's all.
Oh, that's exciting.
You are all in on this.
You have to get the frame packs for your bike.
Oh, like for our trip, right? We're going on a trip this summer. Don't forget.
No, but when I – yeah, no, I know. I got a frame pack for my bike, and you should get them too. Yeah.
So for our adventure bike – what are they called? Bike away, bike adventures. Yeah, I'm really
excited. Bike packing.
Bike packing. Thank you, newbie over here. My bike packing adventure for the summer. I'm doing a bike camp, and I'm really excited about it. That's all.
Cliffhanger.
Ooh, so exciting. Well, I'm heading back to Joshua Tree soon for the last block of filming for the climbing documentary that I've been working on over the last couple months, which is pretty cool. And I'm directing it, and we're like heading into sort of the post-production stuff. We're working with like a sound designer and like creating all the music for it, like composing it all. And I'm learning a ton. And so I feel like it's kind of cool. Like before I got into ultra running, like 10 years ago, a little sidebar, I used to do a ton of climbing. Like that was sort of my foray into the outdoor world. And I traveled, I went to Spain climbing, I went to Yosemite. I was a climber. And then I feel like ultra running took over and I had no more time for climbing. It was just like, you don't get very far when you're climbing. Like you're only going like 50 feet. Like it wasn't as satisfying. So anyways, but I'm kind of rediscovering like a love of it and just like a different community and a different vibe. And so it's been kind of fun. So yeah, I feel like it's sparking all these like new creative things in me right now. Just like a different lens, you know, a different way of looking at it.
I think that's so healthy too, just to always have like the variety of perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what new sports are you guys doing? Because we're doing gravel and climbing. So, like, what are you guys up to?
Well, I've got mine, and I hope you're all very impressed. I went to my first drag show last week, and I got caught up on stage for a calf competition, and I got second place.
Ooh,
where did you get a red ribbon? On Instagram?
I know. I need to post photos. So our good friend Patagonia came to Salt Lake City, and they did this incredible Earth Day environmental drag show. It was such a work of art, absolutely beautiful. It had me in tears at times just from like how creative and moving it was. And it was just so cool. If you've never been to a drag show, I highly recommend. I want it to like be mine and Mike's new thing. We had so much fun until Mike like was pointing at me when they were calling people up on stage. And I was like, this is my worst nightmare. I have social anxiety. Don't do it. And then Patty just like calls me up. I was like, no. So oh, I did get
love
a guy with great calves. Like I couldn't eat, my calves don't even compare, but
if Amanda Basham was there, she would have whooped everyone.
Oh, that's my God. True.
Her calves are incredible.
Are calf they're beautiful. Implants? You know, people do that. Maybe. You never know. You'd be like, mine are real. Though.
They're too good to be true.
Hard earned.
Oh, that's a good moment though, Leah. I feel like that's one for the memory books for sure. Patagonia is awesome too.
I think so. I texted my family the next morning. I was like, do y'all want to know what my worst nightmare is? And I was like, getting caught up on stage for a calf competition at a drag show.
check
that one. No, you can do anything, Leah.
I think I can now after that.
Awesome. Well, this is super fun.
Yeah, you got to finish.
I'm putting together a snacks and socks women's only group run in Forest Park. And everyone's going to get free socks from Darn Tough and snacks from Spring. And I can't wait because it's like, what's better than a fresh pair of socks and some snacks?
Nothing.
And a no-drop run. I'm really excited. So I don't know when it's going to be yet, but I'm feeling fired
up.
Can
we all come?
That.
Yes, sometime in the
please.
Next month.
We're going to have matching socks. Yes.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great little community thing, too. Snacks and socks. You'll have to take it on the road when you move to Salt Lake.
Oh, for sure. I already talked to Bree Sullivan about it. I was like, can I do something with the women of the Wasatch?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Socks for everyone.
So fun.
Well, so great chatting with you guys. Love you all.
Love you guys.
Right, everybody, what'd you think? What could we do better? Send us a DM. Tell us what you think on our Instagram, The Trail Network Pod, and hit the subscribe button on YouTube. It really helps with the pod if you could give us 5 stars and share this or any of the other episodes with a friend that you think would enjoy. See you next time, trail people.